Okay, so we're on Lama Gimel Aleph, continuing the Gemara. So the Mishnah said that it's basically talking about things that you're not allowed to do in order to procure the mitzvah of shofar. So you're not allowed to climb a tree, you're not allowed to swim to get the shofar, you're not allowed to go outside the tchum, you're not allowed to cut the shofar, let's say, off the animal's head, you're not allowed to carve the shofar, whatever, fix it with some sort of a knife, some sort of a tool. So it says, but one thing you could do, it says, if you want, you could put in water or wine. Okay? Even water or wine. Right. So you could put in water or wine into the shofar. Okay? So Rashi says, what's the chiddush? You could put, why would you put water or wine? So presumably it's like in order to make it sound better. Right? You're going to be making it sound better. Someone had a lashon of kedei letzachzecha. Where was that? Did anyone say that? Oh yeah, letzachzecha. I forgot to look that up. So basically, saying is that you're allowed to put in water or wine letzachzecha to cleanse it. Okay. The idea is, I guess, the shofar doesn't work so well. You have this gook that's got built up inside of it, and it's going to presumably prevent it from blowing or inhibit its ability to work. And it's saying is, you're allowed to use water or wine. I guess you'll pour the water or wine in, and I guess you'll shake it around somehow, and it will get out the gook. It'll make it work better. Right? So it's saying you're allowed to do that. Thanks. So you're allowed to do that, and it says, Rashi says, V'lo amrinon, hamasakin mama. You don't say that. You're fixing a kli. The shofar is a kli. It's an instrument. And now you're going to be fixing it. Right? You're going to be making it work. Right? Or certainly enhancing its ability to work. It's not going to work so great. Or maybe it's even clogged up, and now you're going to make it work. So in theory, on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do tikkun mada. You're not allowed to fix it, fix a clay. Right? If, you know, if it's broken, for instance, so just, you know, screw something, screw a piece on, or to rebuild some sort of a thing which falls apart, so that's considered fixing a clay. I'm not sure if it comes under binyan. Like, I think maybe it's like under makom patish. It's like completing the clay. You know, it's like a final step of a clay. I'm not sure. But there's tikkun mada as a category of, it's prohibited on Shabbos, fixing a clay. So the question it's saying is, you don't think, you may have thought that putting the water or the wine is tikkun clay, kamashalon. It's not. Why not? It's a good question. Why not? It doesn't really tell us why not. He's just saying, you don't say this. Okay? Fine, let's go do a little of the Gemara, and then we'll analyze it a little bit. This is a short Gemara on this. So the Gemara says, this is on the second to last skinny line on Lama Gemara. It says, Mayim o yayin in. You could use water or wine. Meraglayim lo. The deduction is you cannot use urine. Meraglayim. Right? I'm not sure why it's a deduction. Maybe that was a standard thing. Maybe it's better. It's better cleaning it, or maybe the Mishnah should have said you could use wine or water or meraglayim. It's not clear, but that's the deduction. The saying is, the deduction is you cannot use meraglayim. Masnis and Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Abishalom. Must be Abishalom. The Tanya, Abishalom, er mayim o yayin mutter kedil sachzachal. Meraglayim also ner kavod. So you can't use meraglayim because it's not kavod. It's not kavod to use urine in your shofar. Right? There's a certain sense to that, right? Seems reasonable. Okay, seems reasonable. And the Rambam brings it down. He explains a little bit more. He says, He adds in vinegar, right? You'd think vinegar would be a good agent to do that, right? Like coffee makers or whatever, that's what he uses these days, right? Can't put in meraglayim into it ever. Because of kavod. So the mitzvah won't be bazoi to you. Okay, it won't be like disgraced. Right? There's a principle of bizoi mitzvah. For instance, it comes up by let's say kisar adam. There's a mitzvah to cover blood after you shecht an animal. There's a mitzvah to cover it over with dirt. So if you cover with your foot, it says bizoi mitzvah. Okay, so using your foot for something. When something is this, you know, disgrace, lowly to you, you use your foot. So the thing is, you put urine in it, it's like a disgrace to the thing. So in order the mitzvah will be bizarre, so you're not allowed to use urine. So you're allowed to use water, wine, vinegar, fine, but not urine. Okay, and that is, who is this? Avashal. Avashal. My problem is the Gemara saying, who's the author of this? Oh, it's the famous Avashal, who says you can't use urine on your shofar. But this is Avashal's fetish? And of course, Pisa Mitzvah, Rabbi Avashal didn't invent the idea of Pisa Mitzvah. Pisa Mitzvah is open, halacha. It's Pasha and Svara, and it's halacha. There are other cases of Pisa Mitzvah. So to make it like, who's the author of our Mishnah? It's Avashal. It makes it like this is a chiddush that you can't clean your shofar with yarn. But it should be Pasha. It's Pisa Mitzvah. What do you need to, why does the Gemara need to, it makes it sound like this is, I don't know if it's a machlokas, but it makes it sound like this is his chiddush. When a statement, the halacha is known, the Shem Omro, again, quoted as so-and-so statement, it indicates that he's some original idea in it. So they're quoting him, that this is his position. Perhaps someone argues, or perhaps it's just his unique idea. But it seems to me that this would be simple. Of course you can't use urine on your shofar. Right, why does the Gemara have to say, you're allowed to use water, the deduction is you can't use urine? Oh, it must be this is Avashal that holds that you can use water but not urine because it's Bisa Mitzvah. Pasha. Okay? So that's one question. And then, of course, the first question we asked is, why is it not Tikkun Mana? So in general, you're not allowed to fix a Kli and the Yom Tov Shabbos. So why is it that using water or wine to fix your shofar is not Tikkun Mana? It's fixing the Kli. After all, the shofar doesn't work that well if you don't clean it out. Maybe it doesn't even work at all. It gets clogged up. And now you're using the water, using the wine to fix it. So shouldn't that be Tikkun Mana? Why is that different than like taking a knife and like cutting the shofar such that it could function? Or cutting it off of the animal? Carving out the, you know, whatever it is? I mean, that's Tikkun Mana. That's the thing you're not allowed to do that. The earlier part of the Mishnah said that. But this is okay. What's the difference? Purpose, you'd say, listen, the shofar which is clogged up isn't really a musical instrument. I mean, either it's going to make total, bad music, which is not really music, you know, it's just funny noises, or it perhaps the cases where it's totally clogged up. The Mishnah doesn't limit it to a case where it's only halfway clogged up. It seems like it's even if it's clogged up. So now it's not really a good instrument. It's a broken instrument. And now you're fixing it. So it would seem to be that should be Tikkun Mana. Which is certainly the Avamina, you know, that's why the Mishnah has to come and tell us it's not. Don't worry about it, it's not Tikkun Mana. It's okay. He says good. Navi G. Yeah. Navi H. So Avi says like this, is that the difference here is the shofar itself really was fine. The shofar is a horn material, horn-like whatever instrument. And the shofar itself is really exactly the same as it always was. The only thing is, you got gook in there. And the gook is preventing the shofar from functioning. So you would have thought, as Avi H. argues, Avimina would have been, that bottom line is, the shofar doesn't function. So Tikkun Mana means to restore the function of the shofar. Right? If I make a kli functional, that's Tikkun Mana. So bottom line is it couldn't function. I don't care whether it was because of gook or because of the shofar was misshaped or whatever it is. That bottom line is it's not working. So now you're restoring the function of a thing. Kamash Malan, is teaching you that Tikkun Mana has to be where you're actually fixing the kli itself. Where you're making a change, a constructive change in the chafetza itself. But if the shofar itself, if the chavta itself is perfectly functional, you just have an extraneous ma'akev, some separate thing which blocks it, so then it would be analogous to, as Avi says, putting your hand on the shofar, it doesn't work, your hand is over it. Now it's true, it's not the same thing, because the gook is lodged inside and your hand is just on the outside. But the point is that in malacha, you have to actually be repairing the object itself. And that which is extraneous to the object is just separate substance which is lodged in there. So the water is not fixing the shofar as much as it's removing the extraneous ma'akev. That's not Tikkun Mana. That's the Chiddush of a Mishnah. Tikkun Mana has to be repairing the kli. Like you take a knife. The most first cases where you take a knife and you start carving it, chopping it off the head, detaching it from the head, or if you'd somehow carve it, there's different ways to learn that case. But you'd use a knife and actually be cutting the very substance of the shofar so that it works. Yes, that's Tikkun Mana because you're changing the kli to one form to another form, a form of the kli where it works, a form where it doesn't work. But the stuff which is inside of it is not the kli, it's a totally extraneous thing. If this is the way to learn, I mean, there might be other ways to learn this Gemara, but if this is the way to learn, I think a good analogy, practical analogy, although this is practical, but another practical analogy would be a toilet, a stuffed up toilet. Because it comes up, that question, this stuff is plunging a toilet to Gemara. Okay, they discuss that. As the, I looked in the great books, there's all kinds of achronim, or discussing the Shemana Shavuot toilet, all different aterim. It's covered a brios, or if it's normally used in that. There's like different swaras to say why it's mutter, why it's also, it's big, it's machlokas. But if you learn this swara, I mean, there may be other ways to learn this Gemara, but according to this way of learning, it would be under the same thing. They'd be showing you, because that's not the toilet isn't broken. If the chain is broken, or the whatever part inside which covers up the hole there is broken, or something like that, then you'd fix it. That would be actually fixing the substance of the toilet. But, I mean, a plunger, there's nothing, it just says extraneous material, which is blocking it from working. But this toilet's not broken. So that would be the same thing. That wouldn't be tikkun mana. The toilet was never really broken. It just had some extraneous thing which is blocking it. Right? It would seem to be the exact same thing. Yeah. You learn this case, like, I don't think this is a smooth way to read this case, but is the reason why it's mutter by shofar is because it already was functioning and now you're just making it better. Which is, again, I don't think it's smooth because the Mishnah doesn't say it's only talking about where it was already functioning. But if you would learn that way, then you could have another question. They say they bring this down by the toilet. If it works a little bit, if it will fall, they bring it down by plunging a sink. Apparently, back in the day, used to people plunge sinks. But if it kind of is going down a little bit, and then you're, that's different than if it doesn't go down at all. So it's one heter, if it's sort of working, as opposed to if it's totally broken. So if you learn the Mishnah, the shofar case like that, then it would carry over a little bit differently. It depends on the svara here. So, I mean, I'm not poskening what about the toilet, because there may be other ways to learn. I'm saying, going to this sounds like the way Avi's learning this Gemara, seems like a Mishnah, seems like a very natural way to learn. It would resolve that question, which is discussed in the Achronim. Apparently, I looked around a little bit. The extent of my research was those gray books. I looked in the back, in the footnotes. You know, the Rabbi Riviat Malacha books. So I try to see if they bring down this case. Because it's like a little bit of a reach. You know, they discuss other cases, which may or may not impact on the toilet case. I wanted to see if anyone brings this case in as a raya. But it's a little bit different than the case. So you're going to have to extrapolate as svara. I didn't see any source which did that, but I didn't really look fully into it. I just kind of, I've had that shaila about the toilet, so it kind of, jogged my memory. Okay, so that's the first part of this Gemara. Now we have the second part, right? Now the second part is, so we understand why it's not tikkun mana, why you're allowed to use water or wine. Now the Gemara deduces, but you can't use meraglayim. Why? This is Avashal. What's Avashal? He holds that you can't use meraglayim because it's bizai, because it's gavod, meraglayim. Right? So the question is, the other question is, isn't it pashut? What do we need Avashal for? How could you argue on this? The Mishnah of the Gemara says, Mani Masnisan, who's the author of our Mishnah? Avashal. Because he holds, right? I mean, what do you mean he holds? Everyone should hold. This should be the word pashut. You can't use meraglayim on Chavashal Mitzvahs because it's a bizai. That's like his fetish. Should be pasha. So they were starting to say, I have a question, but that's before we go to the question. I think the first step we're saying, I guess Mark is saying that, at first he's saying the chiddush is, it's not bizui, sometimes it's in the maisa mitzvah. You do the mitzvah with your foot. You cover over the blood with your foot. Here, it's not, the maisa mitzvah is, you're just cleaning the chafza beforehand with the urine. So in theory, why should that be beforehand? So now you could argue it's not even a chatz shalmezah at that point. So what's the problem altogether? So he says, well, it's not just, you're cleaning a ram's horn, but when you're blowing the shofar now, this is a shofar whose very functionality is contingent upon the urine. So it ends up registering on the mitzvah. It's like you're blowing with the shofar who's enabled by the urine. So it's not the bezoi, so to speak, isn't taking place when you're putting the urine on it. It's when you're blow a shofar with it. Now you're blowing the shofar with a mitzvah which is identified with the urn. It's identified with the urn because its whole functionality is because of the urn. It's not like if you just happen to dip it in the meraglayim, whatever. So then they're like, it doesn't even register. It's history. Whether I did last year, or dip, happened to dip in urine or fell in the toilet, who really cares? It has nothing to do with it. The point is I'm, what makes it work as a shofar, what allows it to be a shofar, is the merit line. So they're saying, that's a visa mitzvah. Right? That's a visa mitzvah. This is the shofar whose existence is contingent on the urine. Right? So they're saying, that's, I guess, his chiddush. Is that a chiddush or is that pashut still? Or is that a chiddush now? That too is bisa mitzvah. I mean, you could say that's a chiddush, that type of thing is considered bisa mitzvah. I'll ask you a question, and this is maybe what Avi Hirschman was getting at before, based upon what Avi Goodstein? Yeah. Yeah. Was saying the last time. I'll ask you like this. Is that given that we're saying it's not Tikkun Lana, right? Why is it not Tikkun Lana? Why isn't putting water in the shofar Tikkun Lana? After all, it was broken and now it's fixed. So he said because the shofar itself really was always a functional shofar. It was always a shofar. It was never broken. It just, you happen to have some extraneous stuff in there, right? So you happen to have extraneous stuff in there. And now what you're doing is that you're making the shofar, you're removing the extraneous stuff. So I understand if I carved out the shofar using urine or I don't know, something like that, if I actually made the shofar with the merit line. But here, the shofar was the shofar always. I just happened to have some extraneous stuff inside the shofar. So now I'm removing that extraneous stuff with urine, but the shofar's existence isn't really based on urine. If it were, then it would be Tikkun Lana. But we're saying the whole time the shofar is the same exact shofar as it always was. So I'm just using the urine to get out cook. But it's not really creating the chavta. So in a certain sense, you could argue this is like undermining the svar from before. The svar from before was that the shofar was the same shofar the whole time, and it just had something extraneous. Now you're telling me it's like the chavta's existence is due to the urine, but it's not true. The chavta was always the same chavta the whole time. It just that practically it had some extraneous stuff. So why is that considered bisa mitzvah now? Okay, so let me ask you another question. You're saying good, Avi. We'll get back to what you're saying in a second. But let me ask you another question. I'll point out another halacha to you. So there's a halacha of lulav hagazel. You know how to use a stolen lulav, right? Why? Two reasons. Mitzvah Bavavera. So one is it's not yours, right? That's one problem. But there's another problem of Mitzvah Bavavera. Right? Lachem is one, but that's only on the first day. I think on the other days it wouldn't be, but I think the mitzvah of avera is another problem because it's the fact that you have the show of the thing altogether comes through an avera. Okay, it's stolen. Okay, what about a stolen shofar?
Mitzvah of avera is different.
No,
so you think so?
It's the blow, maybe like it's the product rather than the actual chavza.
The Rambam says like this. It's based on the Gemara. It's not just the Rambam. I just have the Rambam here. Shofar gazel shatakabo yatsa. Okay. She'en ha-mitzvah ela b'shmias hakol. The mitzvah is hearing the sound. Af b'shlo nagabo. Even though you didn't touch the sound. L'igbiyo ha-shomeya. You didn't pick it up. But the kol is still the mitzvah. Ve'en b'kol din gazel. You can't steal the kol. The kol is an amorphous substance. You're hearing the call. Is it a stolen call? It's not a stolen call. You didn't steal the call. You stole the shofar.
In the other case, you did.
The mice is from others.
So apparently, you say, in terms of mitzvah of Avera, it doesn't go by the chafza itself is stolen, right? But it's not a din in the chafza. It's almost like the mitzvah, the kiyama mitzvah is enabled by the avera. And by lulav, the kiyama mitzvah is that you picked up a lulav. So there, the lulav is stolen. But here, it's that you heard a kol shofar. Now, you wouldn't say a kol is a chafza shal mitzvah. There's no chafza of a kol. It's not like a chafza, an object. But the kiyama mitzvah is that you hear the kol. And there's no din gezel on the call. Now it's true, and that what enables you to reduce the call is the chavtza shal shofar, and that's the chavtza shal mitzvah, but that's already step removed. And apparently, I mean, that's the sugya, I mean, not in the sugya of mitzvah avera, but apparently, once it's a step removed, then it's not called mitzvah avera. Because you could argue, yeah, but still it's mitzvah avera, it's because I stole the shofar, is why I was able to reduce the call, and then the call is what, you know, right? But apparently it has to be direct. Is that the kiyam ha-mitzvah is not in the chatzah shel shofar. The chatzah shofar is a tool to be able to produce a call. And the kol, the kiyush shmias hakol is really the mitzvah. As opposed to in lulav, it's the hagbah of the chafetz itself. So, yeah. So, Jason, now you're saying, you see where I'm going. This is, I think, similar to the point that Avi, you were saying, and JJ's making the connection, is that it's true, is, you said it good, Avi, is that in terms of malacha, you're dealing with tikkun of a chafetz. Malacha goes by the chafetz. Right, the ma'isa malacha is that you fixed the chafetz. Now you haven't fixed the chafetz because the chafetz was the same chafetz the whole time. It just had some extraneous blocker, but that's extraneous to the chafetz. So that's not tikkun mana. Malacha has to be you're producing something. You're fixing. You have a product. So that's not tikkun mana. It's not malacha. But the idea of mitzvahs bezuyos alav means that the mitzvah, if my mitzvah is enabled by urine, by meraglion, that's a bizar mitzvah. Now, the chafetz wasn't created by urine, because the chafetz was the chafetz the whole time. That was the question. Is that it's a chafetz shel mitzvah the entire time? So it hasn't really changed as a chafetz shel mitzvah. That's true. But was the chafetz roly to produce the kema mitzvah? No. It's very nice. He'll tell me it's the same exact chafetz. All it has is a blocker in it. But bottom line is, it can't be used for a mitzvah. It can't produce kama mitzvah if it has the guk inside, right? So now, what allows this chafetz to be able to function for kama mitzvah is the urine. Oh, so now the urine is really what's enabling the kama mitzvah. So it's not that the biza mitzvah is not, and this is consistent with what you said before, Mark, is it's not shot that the urine creates the chafetz shel mitzvah. Because it's not a din in the chafetz. Who cares about the chafetz? So the point is in the mitzvah, in the kima mitzvah, is the kima mitzvah enabled by the urine. And therefore, since the urine is what makes the mitzvah, the shofar, from a shofar which could be used for kima mitzvah to one which cannot, which couldn't have been used for kima mitzvah to something which could be used for kima mitzvah. So now the fact that I'm being yotzei this mitzvah and this shofar is functioning for kima mitzvah is totally due to the urin. So that's bizei mitzvah. As a malacha, you don't say malacha is I've rendered it from something which could not be used for a mitzvah to something which could be used for a mitzvah. That's very nice in terms of halachos and mitzvahs. So that's a category of mitzvah. It's not a category of malacha. Malacha is human productivity. Human productivity goes by the world of the industry and the chatzos. It doesn't go by abstract chalos, chalos shem, able to function for a mitzvah or not. That's not the category. So that's Abishol's chedesh. That's his distinction. That's what I'm saying. That's his chedesh. Is that he's drawing a contrast. This is Abishol's drawing out, and we're just retracing his steps. He's drawing out that when it comes to cleaning out a shofar, there's two distinct categories. And the Mishnah, by the fact that it chooses Mayim and Yayin and leaves out Meraglayim, it's basically going with Abishol's distinction. Is liquid fixing the shofar? It depends. If you look at the shofar as an object of chol, as a musical instrument, so you say, no, it's extraneous. The object was the same object that it always was. It's just an extraneous thing. But if you look at the shofar in the framework of Kiyama Mitzvah, as a tool of Kiyama Mitzvah, of course it's fixing it. And therefore, in terms of Bizoi Mitzvah, which we care about, the category is Chatzah Shal Mitzvah, being fit for Mitzvah, then that's Bizoi Mitzvah. The urine was Machshir Chatzah Shal Mitzvah. But when you're dealing with the category of Malacha, so malacha goes by human productivity. Human productivity doesn't go by a law about blowing and hearing shofar. Human productivity goes by the physical instrument. The physical instrument, that's in the guk, is extraneous. It's not in malacha. That's Abishol's sharp distinction between these two. You didn't need Abishol if you would have said, yes, it is tikkun mana, and it's bizei mitzvah. Or if you would have said, no, that's not tikkun mana, that's not bizei mitzvah. Abishol was making this chiluk, is showing is you got to be very fine in your analysis here. Is it fixing it? Yes and no. In the framework of malacha, it's not fixing it. In the framework of bizei mitzvah, it is fixing it. You know what I mean? Good. You can see why this is why they traced it to Abishol. Money must be Abishol. This is a novel thing which Abishol pulled out. And that's why it's like, it's almost in a certain sense, it's like maybe it helps out with the Yosef as well. It's like a weird thing to get out of the Meraglion. But it draws out, like, great ideas about Shofar. You know, it's like it's a novel chiddush, and you know, it comes out through a case which perhaps is a little strange, but it ends up drawing out an amazing halacha, and a subtle distinction. So they found in the halacha. You know? I mean, obviously, it's true is that it goes well with what we said before that the Rambam why you know, since it's not there's no gezel to call since the real mitzvah is in the shmias hakol. So therefore, the shofar was not really a shofar. It wasn't really fit for the shmias hakol. And now my shmias hakol is enabled. But if it were like a maisa, then you could have argued then that the chafza is more essential. It's interesting. I mean, you have to think about it a little more. It kind of depends on how you do that. Sugya, and you know, so it's related. But I think it's in line. It's good. I'm not sure. Maybe it would have worked out the other way also. But it's good this way that the real mitzvah is the shmias hakol, and therefore this clogged up shofar is really not really for a call. Okay, so tomorrow we're going to go further in the Gemara. It's going to talk about, it says, the Gemara says you don't stop children from blowing on Rosh Hashanah. But you do stop women from blowing on Rosh Hashanah. The implication is. So it gets into a question about women doing like Mitzvah Rosh Hashanah Grama. Yeah, on any Rosh. Most Shabbos, I think. No, it ends up being not only Shabbos. You'll see. But the question is could a woman do a Mitzvah Rosh Hashanah Grama? So she holds they can't. So it's again add to that Gemara. So is this Gemara here? The very next Gemara on Lama Gimel Aleph. I'm going to do some Rashi's. We're going to end up doing Tosfos. There's a whole. It's a big sugya here. I mean, look at some
Rashi's. The first white line.
Yeah, there's Gemara in Erevin also. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the second. Yeah, exactly. The first white line. So we'll slowly work our way through it.